Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Brought to you by First Bank. You work hard for your business. So should your bank. Talk to a First Bank business specialist today. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC.
Time now for Question Mark, presented by Breaks Plus, and getting a lot of these today with the news that we talked about, all those Dolphin players that want out. Well, one guy that the Dolphins are reportedly shopping is DB Minkah Fitzpatrick. All right, so we talked yesterday about trade for Trent Williams. This question comes in, and it asks, Mark, who would you prefer the Broncos to make a play for, Trent Williams or Minkah Fitzpatrick?
Trent Williams.
Still.
That's not even a question. Minkah Fitzpatrick is a good player. Don't get me wrong. He's a really good player.
He's only 22.
I understand that. He's a really good player, Mike.
He was the 11th overall pick.
I understand that.
And there's a need here. Yes? No?
A need?
A need? You think there's a need that a Minkah Fitzpatrick could fill?
Well, certainly that he could fill it. Is that need as important as finding a left tackle that understands his assignment? Like, you tell me, did we come into the season going, boy, if we could only have a few more DBs and we could only, you know, our defense, then maybe our defense could creep into the top, you know, whatever, top 10. No, we said we have a top 10 defense. Some would say we have a top 5 defense.
But did you see a top 10, top 5 secondary on Monday night?
I didn't see a top. You know what I didn't see? I didn't see a top five defense. I didn't see a top five D line that pressured the quarterback. I didn't see a top five game plan they created. Yeah, we had good DB play. We just, like, I don't care who you are, Mike. I don't care who you are. If the ball comes out in 1.7 seconds, so if you're pass rushing me. Okay, you and I are going mono and mono. You're pass rushing me, and I don't even touch you. I whiff. On a five-step drop, it still takes 1.7 seconds for you to get to the quarterback. I bet you if you put a clock on all of Derek Carr's throws, that means if I touch you and just disrupt you slightly, it takes you at least 2 seconds to get to the quarterback. I guarantee you, if you look at the 26 pass attempts that Derek Carr threw, I bet you 18 of them are out of his hand in 2 seconds or less. So, like, I look at that. Is that bad DB play? No. And then the other thing is, if you do hold the ball and move around, and, you know, I don't care who you are as a DB, you can't cover somebody for 4.5 seconds or 4 seconds. It doesn't matter who you are. So, like, I don't think it's bad DB play by any stretch of the imagination.
All right, so you're still battling for the idea of going and getting Trent Williams. I heard mixed reaction to it yesterday, and the general negative reaction to your idea was, hey, he's 31, it's going to cost a huge contract, and all those valuable draft picks. Now, I bring up, let's say, a first-round pick, a second-round pick, and a sixth-round pick. If, let's say, that's the asking price. I think Adam Schefter was on with us yesterday, and he said that was kind of the parameters of what you'd be talking about. And my point was, oh, really? So you're going to pass on a guy like Trent Williams just so you can draft Garrett Bowles, DeMarcus Walker, and Darius Kilgo? But other people were like, well, wait a minute. You know, a first, a second, and a sixth, you know, can be Bradley Chubb, Dalton Reisner, and Matt Paradis.
Sure.
And there's still enough belief in the draft. Enough people have been convinced that the draft is everything. And these draft picks are so precious that you don't give them up. After a guy like Trent Williams and giving up that kind of draft capital and the contract that would go along with it, all for a guy who's 31, all for a guy who has gone to multiple Pro Bowls, but you know, how serious is he really about football? How committed is he to football? It's not like he's lifted the Washington Redskins to great heights. Is he really a good fit for this team right now?
Hey, listen, I understand all that. The true value of the first round draft choices is managing your cap, keeping your cap low, keeping your value on your cap low. Trent Williams is a great player. You telling me you would rather chance an unknown commodity as a first rounder who could be a bust? 75% of first rounders don't see their second contract with that team versus a guy who's a Pro Bowler every time he lines up the field and is an absolute beast at a position, in my mind, of need. I don't care what they say over there. I would take that. I'd take that deal in a heartbeat.
All right. We've got some breaking news when it comes to the Broncos and their ownership situation. Nikki Javala from The Athletic writing, and she's going to join us here in a second, so let me just set it up, that Beth Bolin Wallace and Amy Klemmer, Pat Bolin's oldest daughters, filed a petition in Arapahoe County Court challenging the validity of the Pat Bolin Trust on the grounds their father lacked capacity and was under undue influence when he signed his estate planning documents in 2009. And Nikki joins us now. Nikki, what more can you add to all of that? We thought that maybe there was a sense of things settling down after both the Hall of Fame unification of the parents of the family, and also the idea that maybe things were settling down and signs were pointing towards Brittany Bolin when the last lawsuit was thrown out. So what does all this tell you?
Yeah, well, I think those may have been a little premature and perhaps misleading. You know, I think that with Bill Bolin's lawsuit being tossed, that, you know, kind of cleared the path for, you know, the ownership plan to resume. That lawsuit, though, was tossed, it kind of spawned a number of other filings, and there was separately the NFL arbitration that was still scheduled between Beth Bolin Wallace and Klemmer and the trustees. So this petition filed by Wallace and Klemmer challenges the validity of the trust. And these are Pat's oldest daughters from his first marriage. They contend that Pat was not of sound mind in 2009 when his trust was restated. And if you remember from some of the earlier filings, the estate attorney for Pat Bolin at the time signed an affidavit claiming that, yes, he did draft the 2009 trust as well as Pat Bolin's will and the general power of attorney. And he signed an affidavit saying Pat Bolin was of clear mind and he knew exactly what he was doing and how he wanted his assets handled. So this challenges that, and it has pretty significant implications depending on which way it goes. And this will not be resolved anytime soon, I can assure you that. But for Wallace and Klemmer, I mean, they run the risk of being disinherited. There is a no contest clause. Pat Bolin's trust, meaning those who challenge it, could lose their rights as a beneficiary, and it would bypass them and go to their children. It could also have implications for arbitration. I mean, if the court finds that the trust is indeed invalid, you know, it would kind of render the arbitration moot. I mean, to proceed with that when the trust is invalid would seem pretty meaningless. But this finally gets to the heart of the dispute. The Bill Bolin lawsuit was kind of like beating around the bush kind of to get to the meat of it. And this is really what this is. Long story short, it ensures that the ownership battle is not going to be settled anytime soon. It's going to continue. The plan still is to have Brittany to come in late November and take on a senior management role. November is also when NFL arbitration is scheduled. So So we'll see what happens from here, but it's going to be a pretty lengthy process.
Real quick, Nikki, reading from your article in The Athletic, you can check out Nikki's work in The Athletic. It says there's substantial and overwhelming evidence that Mr. Bowen lacked the required capacity in 2009. Any insight onto what that capacity was and why that claim is being made?
That is a quote from the co-counsel for Beth Bowen Wallace and Amy Klemmer. They contend that they do have evidence to support their claim that Pat Bowen was not of sound mind. If you remember in Bill Bowen's lawsuit, he contended that that Pat was diagnosed with Alzheimer's by doctors at the Mayo Clinic in Arizona in 2006. He didn't formally step down from the team, though, until the fall of 2013. Those dates and, you know, when he was diagnosed and medical records, I would imagine those become pretty important in the wake of this latest filing. So, they obviously have not disclosed their evidence yet, but that's going to come out in this process. So we'll see what happens.
So here's the cynic in me, and this is cold, and this is callous, and this is calculating, but I guess if you're talking about a $3 billion operation, I guess this is what comes into play, is that this is something that this side has been sitting on, and the last thing they could do is raise the claim that Mr. Bowen was lacking mental faculties when this whole trust was signed while he was still alive. But what, soon after he passes away, this is their charge? I mean, how can you not assume that this is something that was part of their plan all along and they had to wait for him to pass away to drop it?
Yeah, I mean, you could assume that. I don't want to assume either way. And they do, as they've been going through this process, they've had lawyers they've been dealing with for years now. They've gone into it with a pretty elaborate plan on how they wanted to address this. So it's a complex issue. And that's why when the first lawsuit was dismissed, it was pretty premature to insinuate that, you know, this kind of cleared the way for things to kind of go as planned. There's so much more to this than even we know right now, because a lot of it is private. I mean, it's a private franchise. The trust documents are private. So there's a lot more.
All right, we lost her there. So that's the gist of the story. Again, the oldest daughters of Pat Bowlen filed a petition today, this morning, challenging the validity of the trust on the grounds that their father lacked the mental capacity and was under undue influence when he signed his estate planning documents in 2009. I mean, that is a huge, huge development when you're coming out as the daughters of your father,
right,
and claiming he lacked the mental faculties to do this. Our father wasn't right, and everything that he chose and planned, he was wrong.
Yeah.
That's cold, man. That is cold, because what you're doing as a child is you are besmirching the memory of your father. I mean, let's not dance around it. I mean, that's what you're doing. You're saying our father wasn't equipped to do this.
Right.
And we're challenging that. We're challenging the wishes of our father.
Correct.
Man. Correct. Brutal.
No, it is. It's, you know, but you know how it is when it comes to prestige, money, and power.
Exactly.
I mean, that's, you know, those are things that people desire and that people want. And you're talking about a franchise that, did you see the Indianapolis Colts story the other day where Jim Irsay turned down $3 billion for his franchise?
Yep.
Allegedly, reportedly turned down over $3 billion. Now, the Carolina Panthers, and this is the Carolina Panthers, were purchased by Dave Tepper for what? Two
$2.5 billion or something like that, $2.6 billion or something of that nature. So the Colts are over $3 billion. What, I mean, literally, what are the Broncos worth on the open market? $3.5 billion.
Easily.
Would they approach $4 billion? So, you know, and when you start looking at it, you know, from your inheritance standpoint, if it's all split up equally, you know, there's quite a bit of difference between owning $3.5 billion franchise and you know, getting a 1/7 of that or whatever it is.
I just can't. I can't even fathom being in that situation where my family, my father had owned an NFL franchise that had grown in value to $3 billion. But mm-hmm. I just can't ever imagine call for what it is, embarrassing my father, embarrassing my father's memory,
right,
by letting everybody out there know that I thought he wasn't in his right mind when he made the decisions he made. And I disagree with him. He was wrong. And he wasn't in his right mind when he did. I couldn't imagine. I would be horrified. I mean, now put it the other way. Imagine your children doing that to you, making that claim.
Right. But there definitely is a split between, you know, first marriage, children, and second marriage and children. I mean, that's right. Isn't that obvious?
Oh, so, sure. It's still your father.
I know. It's just,
and we did. And we saw the whole Kumbaya thing up there in Canton.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where we thought, hey, maybe this family's
it's okay
coming together. Okay, but you know, clearly they're not.
Right.
And we thought that this thing might be settling down. What would the original lawsuit being thrown out? We talked about when they got the naming rights for the stadium, the idea that, hey, things are calmed down now. It seems like the Broncos are on a certain path. Brittany Bolin has been greenlit for taking over the franchise.
Right.
Now all this thing is thrown back into upheaval again. And what does it mean for you, the fan? Well, it really doesn't mean anything right now because the Broncos continue to be run the way the Broncos are run. But at some point, we're going to get to a point where either there's a clean cut exchange, pass it down, Brittany takes over, and pretty much the status quo, the way that the franchise has been run for these last several years, will continue to run that way, or Brittany Bolin doesn't run this team. Another Bolin member does, and that could more than likely change dramatically the way the franchise is run.
But how many? I mean,
or you get to the point where this is just too much fighting, too much bickering, too much lawsuits. Everything is tied up in courts, and you know what the NFL does? They step in and say, sell the football team.
Right. That third scenario, like anytime you get into this, I mean, obviously litigation takes forever. There's a back and forth process, and just because you were denied once, there are 18 million different avenues you can take. Like, this could go on forever. And I think, you know, if it's not settled at some point and there seems to be a disruption and there seems to be a lack of continuity, I could definitely see the NFL stepping in at some point. You know, they went from within a 6-month swing, if you remember this, they went from, we love what the Broncos are doing, we love what the trust, we completely are on board with the trust and this, that, and the other, at the beginning of last season, to the Super Bowl, saying this is a concern. Because Bill Bolin had filed a lawsuit, and if you remember the commissioner being asked that question, it's a concern. We're monitoring it. It went from everything is peachy keen, yep, everything is awesome, they're doing a great job, to we're very concerned. So, it's just upsetting.
Now people are raising the idea on the Ramoslav.com text line, what if they have a point? What if he wasn't in his right mind? Isn't it their job to raise that possibility? Right. But it comes back. Do you really get the sense here that Beth Bolin and the older children are they're in it to, this is all about making sure the right thing is done, or is it just, it's a $3.2 billion operation. We want to run it.
Right.
We want it to be ours.
Yeah. Well, you know, and the other thing is, I just, you've surrounded yourself with people as an owner that you trust to help you walk through what your will is and, you know, and what you want done with your estate and what you want done with your, you know, the wealth that you have amassed. And, you know, so basically you're not only bringing in the competency of your father, but also you're bringing in the integrity of the people that he put in place that he trusted to execute his last wishes. They're pretty significant accusations, if you will.
Well, if they have a legitimate claim to make here that he really was already impacted in such a way, then I don't see how this thing has a clean resolution. And the only resolution then is the NFL stepping in saying enough's enough. Sell the team. Divvy it up. Sell the team.
Mm-hmm.
And bring in new ownership and move on. Because you're right. That was a telling remark from the commissioner at the last Super Bowl. It went from, hey, we love the trust. The trust is awesome. The trust is doing a great job. They're doing what they do. Mm-hmm. Let them keep doing it.
Right.
We're monitoring this.
Yeah. We're a little concerned with what's going on right now.
You don't think this morning?
Right.
Isn't going to be talked about this morning in Roger Goodell's office? Of course it is. Because this has the potential to become nasty and drag out. Now, how does it affect the game on Sunday? It doesn't. So there's an element of, for all of you out there, yeah, it's interesting to follow, and it is something worth talking about, but it becomes an issue when it's an issue. And right now it's not an issue for this football team.
For the football team, I mean, the players and the coaches and those folks that are going to execute game plans and go out there and try to beat the Chicago Bears, and this has no bearing on them. They don't think about this. They're, you know, tunnel vision on what they have to do. Very myopic in game planning and how they have to, you know, not only execute the game plan, but beat the guy in front of them.
And a lot of you on the RamosLaw.com text line are coming to their defense and Beth Boland's defense. I get it. Jeez, there's just something that just seems crass about just
right.
Not long after your father passes away coming out and saying, we don't think our father was in his right mind. And we're challenging all this. I mean, it's making a charge against your father's legacy.
Yeah.
It just seems crass, but hey, you know, when you're talking about something like the ownership and the control of an NFL football team, I guess probably shouldn't be so naive about it, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just the whole thing's upsetting. But like you said, we go on. The games go on.
And that's what we're going to do. And we're going to tell you why. How about this for a transition? We're going to tell you why scouting and preparing for this game this week has given Mark the runs, literally. That's next.
You work hard for your business. So should we. That's why First Bank offers commercial real estate loans, business lines of credit, and online cash management solutions. With tools and services designed to make your business run easier, your day could have less this and more this. Visit eFirstBank.com/business to learn more. First Bank, business banking for good. Member FDIC.
First Bank, banking for good. Now,
you gotta be asking yourself, what the heck are these two doing? What is this, Sean Cassidy? What's with the do run, 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 do run, run?
And when you walk to home, to do run.
They don't write like this anymore.
No, they don't.
Yeah, hey, her name was Jill. My heart stood still. I mean, they just don't write them like this anymore. I'm not sure what the do rum runs is for Sean, but I know what they were for me. They were watching Chicago Bears defense. Got me a little do run running.
All right, so the offensive lineman in you, the Horton hears a who just, you know, jumps at his own shadow. Mm-hmm. You took one look at the Bears front seven this week, and what did it do to you?
Gave me the runs. I mean, I was sitting in the United Club. I was like watching the Bears. All right, now let me go deep dive into the Bears defense, right? Bears. And I'm telling you what, like, I was just like, oh, the very first play of the game, I was like, oh my gosh. And then, oh my God, and oh my gosh, I was like, oh no. And then I was like, oh, I gotta go. And then I ran to the restroom. I was like, oh, just doing the duck walk across the, and you know how you act, like when you all of a sudden it hits you in the stomach, you act like, oh, let me go look over here at the food buffet. Mm-hmm. And you just kind of clenching around there and you're, oh, well, maybe I'll get a soda. You just take off, right?
You get to within 10 feet of the bathroom entrance, like, and then all of a sudden you just sprint.
Yeah, you're like, ah! That was me watching the Bears defense yesterday.
Oh my goodness.
Holy Moses, I'm telling you what. And I'm talking about, you know, guys you don't know, like Goldman and what's 95's name? I should probably know this since I'm calling the game.
Yeah, I would think that might be a good idea.
I'll just call him 95. Hold on. Efforting. Ben, can I get somebody? We haven't had efforting music today. Go ahead. Oh, there it is. Right there. Okay. I'm on the depth chart. Here we go. Okay, Mike. Let me just look. Sorry about that. That was the offense. Oh, Roy Robertson Harris. Let me just tell you. You want to, like, that guy alone. 6'5". I don't know how much this is not the legit. He's about 290. And I'm telling you what, he is trucking fools. I mean, trucking fuels. Fuels? Fools.
Fools.
Yeah. Look, I can't even truck and fuel.
It's like you're so flustered.
Well, no, he's like a big semi. Like, need some fuel. And like the gas station is the quarterback and he's just dumping dudes on top of it, running in this big 18 wheeler, man. Makes me want to vomit.
Tackling fuel.
You want me to show you a play? I don't want to show you a play because I don't want to have to host this while you run to the restroom.
I get the fact that this is a really good defense, but man, you're comparing him to the 85 Bears. You're comparing him to like the 2000, Ravens. I mean, those are the Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense, the Broncos defense that won a Super Bowl in 2015. Come on. Really? Are you willing to go all the way there?
Oh yeah.
Really?
Absolutely.
I mean, this is a team, this is a defense, by the way, under the tutelage of Vic Fangio, who we have all praised for his defensive genius and what he's going to bring here based on what he did there. This is still a team that gave up 30 to the Miami Dolphins last year, gave up 27 to the Giants,
right?
Gave up 38 to a New England team. Now you're saying, oh, well, it's the Patriots. Well, if I'm not mistaken, the game that they put 38 up against Fangio and the Bears defense came after they had just lost back-to-back games to Jacksonville and Detroit, if I'm not mistaken. Let me see. I don't need efforting music.
Hey, neither here nor there.
I was a little bit down. They had got to 4-2 at that point. But, they put up 38 against Chicago.
I'm just telling you what I saw in film against Green Bay. They dominated the line of scrimmage. I don't know how many times they sacked Aaron Rodgers. I bet you they had at least half a dozen sacks on Aaron Rodgers. And, I mean, they were in the backfield all night long. Tackles for losses. I mean, it was unbelievable. And their linebacking core, Roquan Smith is like a combination of Ray Lewis when it comes to diagnosing plays and Junior Seau when he's whatever. Like, whatever you're taking over there, you know, whatever that, whatever you're taking, I'd like some. Like, whatever that mixture is you're on, whatever that is, Chicago Bears defense, I will have some, please.
Tackling fuel.
Oh, it's tackling fuel. Fuel. Mike, I'm just telling you. I am telling you. It's,
so you're saying this offense has no chance on Sunday?
I'm not going to say they have no chance.
What would you say the ceiling is for this offense on Sunday? If I said,
do you like field goals?
Give me enough of them, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, give me five of them.
You like field goals.
Win 15 to 10. I don't care.
All right. Yeah.
I'd say. I'm totally cool with winning this game 13 to 10.
How do you feel about 9-6?
Fine.
I do too. I feel good about it.
Because if you're telling me this defense is all that, then you know what I'm going to counter with? I think the Broncos defense has the chance to be pretty good. And if this season's going to be anything special at all, they're going to be carried by this defense. And so what better day than Sunday when it's the home opener, you're going to have a charged up crowd, it's going to be a hot day, See how the Bears handle all that, and have this defense that's probably smarting a little bit after what happened on Monday night, rise to the challenge, knowing the responsibility that they have to set the tone for this football team, rise to the challenge knowing that you've got a Bears defense that everybody is gushing about on the other side, and take that what about us mentality. And go out there and be better.
I like that. I like your philosophical approach.
Have your offense just squeeze up out enough points and win the kind of game that most of us think they're going to have to win a lot of this year in order to get to where we hope they'll be.
Yeah, I think this game's going to be somewhat dirty. I think you're going to have to, you know, get down and dirty, and you know, you're going to have to celebrate 2-yard runs, Mike. Physical 2-yard runs if you can come off the ball. Kind of quote unquote between the tackles, run right at guys. Like the athleticism and the ability to diagnose and knife through the line of scrimmage by Roquan Smith and Danny Trevathan are great. Oftentimes what I like to do against guys like that is run directly at them. Downhill. You know, run some ISO type stuff, right? Just don't take away their athleticism. So you either take it away by running directly at them or you use misdirection. And so, but you run directly at them. Guess what? You know, Big Hoss is up front. You know, the cooler. This is on you, the cooler. Dalton Risner, Connor McGovern. It's on you. It's on you, Big Ron Leary. It's on you, Elijah Wilkinson. It's on you, 72.
We do not speak his name.
Here's the other thing I'm hopeful about. The Chicago Bears lost a game last Thursday in which the number 2 overall pick in the draft, somebody that they traded up to get, went out and played at such a bad level that a member of the Green Bay Packers came out and said it was our goal to make their quarterback play quarterback.
Right.
I can't think of a more damning statement to make against the guy than saying, yeah, we know he's the number 2 pick in the draft. And, we know all that, but, our goal was to make him play quarterback.
He missed.
We wanted him to think about that. We wanted him to play quarterback and he did.
You know what he looked like in that first game? If you watched last night's game, he looked like Cam Newton in the pocket, outside the numbers, throwing the ball outside the numbers, like on corner routes and things of that nature. He had some wide open targets that he literally airmailed 8 yards over the receiver's head. Like the receiver just turned around and looked at it like, really, dude? Really?
You blew it!
It was Tebow-esque.
Whoa. Thank you so much. God bless y'all.
Whoa.
Right.
You're going there.
It was that bad.
Oof.
Well, it's not good.
But Tebow was fun and exciting.
Yeah, read D-Mac's manifesto.
Uh-huh. Actually, it's funny you brought up Tebow.
Okay, great.
I'm going to tell you how the Broncos can win on Sunday. You just gave me a revelation.
All right.
A revelation is coming your way. I see it now. I see it so clearly. It's like,
beautiful. Beautiful.
It's beautiful.
I can't wait to hear it.
That's coming up next. You know what this one is shaping up as?
What's that?
And maybe in order for the Broncos to win this one, they're going to need some of that same kind of magic that was on display back in 2011 when the Broncos played the Bears here.
Mm-hmm.
The Bears were up 10-7.
Yeah.
Late,
yeah.
Seemingly in control.
Right.
And then Marion Barber, for some reason, ran out of bounds. Stopped the clock.
Right.
The Broncos forced a punt. They got it at their own 20. Tim Tebow navigated, drove the Broncos into field goal position.
Yes, I remember it.
And Matt Prater hit one through from 59 yards.
Yes, yes.
To tie the game up with 8 seconds left.
Right.
And then, in overtime, Chicago, with the ball, fumbled! Marion Barber again! Have we ever investigated whether Marion Barber was on the take on that game, by the way?
No, probably not.
Marion Barber fumbles! Recovered by Elvis Dumervil! And then Tebow again! Displaying that magic that just defied description. Set up Matt Prater for a 51-yard field goal.
Right.
Boom! Matt Prater hit 59 and 51-yard field goals.
And
the way that day was going, it could have been 70, and you know he would have made it.
Right. That.
And they won 13-10.
That's literally those drives to kick a 51 and a 59-yard field goal to, you know, 59 to tie it up. Literally like driving your wife halfway to your pregnant wife halfway to the hospital and dropping her off. You can walk the rest of the way. Good luck in labor. I'm going to go get a beer.
That was a 9-play, 33-yard drive to set up the game-winning field goal.
That's a 2.5 yards and a cloud of dust.
But it worked.
Yeah.
It worked that day.
Yeah, when Matt Prater
won the football game.
By the way, I was in Arizona and talked to Matt Prater on Sunday, and I was watching him. He just easy bombing them from 60 yards in pregame warmups, just pounding them from 60. Easy.
But we know McManus can do it, so why not?
Yeah.
There's your scenario.
Yeah.
That's how it works. That's
all right.
How you get it done.
All right, I like it. I like it.
I mean, that game, heck, that season, but that game defied description, defied common sense.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they can get a little bit of that on Sunday.
Yeah.
It is time. It is time for our fearless Broncos predictions presented by presented by King Soopers, official grocer of the Denver Broncos.
Prediction? Yes, prediction. Hey.
Millennial Ben crescendo too early.
Yeah, he got excited. It's all right. I mean, he just couldn't wait to push that button.
Well,
be nice.
So good. All right, go ahead. What do you got?
I think this is going to be, I mean, this is a fist fight. This is going to be down and dirty. You may not like it, you know, in this day and age where everybody likes big high-flying offenses, but I think this is going to look a lot like the opening night, Thursday night. It's going to be an absolute bloodbath. Don't stand too close to the TV. You may get a bloody nose coming away from this one. I'm going to give it to the Broncos.
Ooh. Despite this Bears defense giving you the runs.
Yes. I'm saying they're going to make enough plays, and this defense is going to make enough plays, turn the ball over. They didn't get a turnover. They're going to fix that pass rush. They're going to challenge the receivers, get Mitchell Trubisky off his spot. I'm going to say it's going to be a barn burner. I'm going Broncos 9. Chicago doubles the score of week one, and they get 6.
9-6.
9-6.
Woo! Well, listen, I'm gonna blame this on you, because all morning I've had to listen to you talk up this Bears defense, and so now you got me spooked. So I mean, this Bears defense.
But wait, you told me the Broncos defense.
And I think the Broncos defense is going to play exceptionally well as well. But unfortunately, Chicago gets a late field goal and beats the Broncos 5-3.
5-3. So they get a safety in there.
Yep.
So it was 3-2.
So the Broncos will be leading 3-2.
3-2.
Deep into the fourth quarter.
Uh-huh. I was going to say that that's like a baseball score, but in our town lately, 10-3 is more like a baseball score.
Right.
15-6. Something like that.
It's
going to
be
3-2. 3-2.
Yeah. In fact, that for a good part of the first half score is going to be 2-0. Okay.
2-0.
And then the Broncos will surge ahead 3-2. Okay. McManus will hit one from 72 yards. Okay. After a 9-play, 27-yard drive to get him into field goal position for 72 yards.
Right.
And then at the end, the Bears, ironically enough, with a game-winning field goal. It'll doink off both
uprights.
And the crossbar. And it'll drop over for a field goal. And
will it teeter on the crossbar for a minute?
It'll wobble. It'll be like a Weeble wobble. And the Broncos will lose 5-3.
Are you concerned that you fall out of the circle? I mean, picking against the Broncos, are you?
I just described quite possibly the saddest football game in NFL history. So I'm not really worried about, I don't think if that happens, I don't think me picking the Bears will be what people will be talking about. Plus, I think there's part of me that just wants to see how you handle that kind of broadcast.
it'd be great because people
see,
be.
I want to see how Mark puts.
People
that,
be getting snot bubbled right and left.
I want to see how Mark puts lipstick on that pig.
Oh, I'll put it on there.
Uh huh.
I'll put it on there, baby. Gosh, that's a sad, sad day. Broncos 9-6. Now that's a game.
Hey, listen, Evans. I don't know what your problem is. 5-3.
Huh.
Meanwhile, you're predicting fireworks at 9-6.
Big time. Big time. Big time. All right.
So,
all right.
I like this one. Broncos leading 3-2 in the top of the ninth. They bring in Wade Davis and lose 5-3. Hey, listen, we're really looking forward to watching you on Sunday.
I know
you are fired up. I know how much you enjoy doing these games. You put in hours and hours and hours of preparation, but I know being able to do this game for everybody out there in Broncos country, you're pumped up for. So have fun with it. Can't wait to get your stories about what it was like down on the field before the game. Maybe you run into John.
Right.
Share that conversation with us.
Plus our whole deal, we did the ultimate game day experience, you know, where we gave a game day experience to a family that was, struggling a little bit. That it goes on this weekend as well. So you get to spend some time connecting with some really good people, father, son. So that's going to be really cool. So anyhow, it's all good, man. All good.
Evans, if this game does end up 5-3, I'll start wearing mom jeans and a fanny pack. Okay, we're done. We're going to turn it over to Sandy and Orlando coming up next.
You work hard for your business. So should we. That's why First Bank offers commercial real estate loans, business lines of credit, and online cash management solutions. With tools and services designed to make your business run easier, your day could have less this and more this. Visit eFirstBank.com/business to learn more. First Bank, business banking for good. Member FDIC. First
Bank. Banking for good.